pandemic got us into a reflective space and made us look inward to see what we can do for the world at large. As a self-expression coach, I became a catalyst for women and started Vani, a one-on-one coaching program for women on finding their voice, to speak up, to be visible. As a storyteller, I spotted there were many ordinary people amongst us leading extraordinary lives, making a difference to the world, and they needed to be heard. Thus was born You and I with Rashmi Shetty, where amazing personal journeys with their uniqueness and individuality are showcased. A reaffirmation of the fact, open your eyes wider, the world is far more beautiful when we acknowledge the presence of both you and I. It's our 101st episode and it is special. Our guests today are two artists who have gifted Omkara as a blend of many ideas and expressions that uniquely fit into a motivational yet peaceful musical production. With the concept of uniting the world, Dr. Prakash Sandakke and Kush Mehta explore musical fusion on the original vibration of the universe, the Omkara. Omkara has been released through Karmic Records. Dr. Prakash Sandakke is a vocalist, multi-instrumentalist, music producer and composer who has innovated this instrument called the Swaraveena. He is associated with the Grammy award-winning albums as a co-composer, vocalist and guitarist on the album Winds of Samsara and with the more recent Divine Tides as a songwriter. He's the only Indian to have won the Independent World Music Awards USA and the Nashville Awards for Composers. Kush Mehta is a sound engineer, music producer, vocalist and percussionist. He has dedicated his life to learn the art of audio mastering and how it is the critical step before LPs, CDs or any audio content on digital platforms reaches the audience. He has conceived and patented K-Sphere, which encodes spatial audio, Dolby audio, and other popular surround formats to qualify for consumption on even the traditional stereo system. With over two decades of experience in the audio industry, he has mixed and mastered numerous film songs and TV commercials. He is the founder of Karmic Records, which was established in mid-2020 as an independent record label dedicated to audio production for independent artists, audio professionals, academics, musicians, and audio enthusiasts. Listen in as they both share the journey to the creation of the single released yesterday, the 26th of January 2023, India's 74th Republic Day. Hi, hello and welcome, Kush and Prakash ji. Such a pleasure having both of you on You and I with Rashmi Shetty. And this is going to be a very different You and I. Normally, You and I is to find out what exactly people are, where they're coming from and their stories. In your case, what I love is that the story that unites the two of you and interests me is music. So Prakash ji is somebody that I have known for a lot many years now. Kush, I'm curious about you. Where are you originally from? Where are you currently today? Because as a percussionist, sound engineer, there are many of your basic childhood influences, which I'm sure made you who you are. So if you can quickly take us through who Kush is as a little boy to the Kush we meet today.
Yeah. As a little boy born and brought up in Mumbai, we had a very, very modest childhood. A childhood where we used to value the money, the resources right from the start. My passion with sound started right from childhood when I was in the third, fourth standard exposed to my church, where we used to sing the choir in my church. And more than singing the choir, I was really interested in the technical side of it. So there on, I got hands-on experience of the sound consoles and all that stuff. progressing to my life forward, where I made it that this is going to be the life I'm going to read. This is going to be the essence of my life itself. And going around places, learning with lot of good masters and progressing in my art. That's how I have finished myself and then made a small identity of my own in this world and in the art which I love so much, the art of sound and music.
Okay. So where did the percussion come into your life? And are you somebody who was influenced by any particular artist as you were growing up?
Yes. As I was growing up, percussions came a bit late in my life because my journey has been, as I told you, mostly in the field of sound. Uh-huh. So when I record lots of instruments, percussions and congas particularly was the one which used to really thrill me. That recording was like made my day kind of a scenario for me. And I was fortunate enough to record many good conga players. And my primary influence is Giovanni Hidalgo, sir. And he's a famous percussionist, one of the most legendary percussionists. And only watching him and watching his videos, I learned how to play the percussions. I've not formally taught myself with any, I've not been lucky enough to be taught with any guru as far as percussions is concerned. But only taking him as the guru, imagining him as in my mind, I decided to play along with it, practice and practice. And so whenever I used to have free time from my recordings, I used to practice the percussion. So after practicing percussions, back to the mixing, mastering. And that's how in my life I juggled between the two, and I think achieved a fine balance where I can blend the two together, the art of sound as well as music.
That's a very nice, it has a beautiful sound to itself, the art of sound and music. Yes. So here I'd like to bring Prakash ji. Because Prakash ji, you have been influenced hugely by your parents, who have been such renowned names in Hindustani music. And your childhood was seeped in music. And you went on to YouTube before people even realized there was some channel like that, and had international collaborations because of that. So through your journey, especially as a musician, and who was from one particular gharana per se, where did the idea of collaborating and moving beyond the Indian shores come to you? And the entire thing about fusion, today it's one word, everything is a fusion today. So if you can give us a little clarity on where this evolved for you, especially since you come from a very pure gharana and a space which was huge, huge, huge in shaping you as a musician.
Thanks so much, Rashmi. Yeah, when you speak about gharana, it's the interesting thing is that every gharana, actually, if you study how the gharanas progressed in themselves, the element of fusion comes out there itself. Because when there weren't great microphones, the whole technique of playing the tabla, if you notice, was a very different. The tabla was usually played on the sharper corners, you needed sharper sounds. And gradually, as time evolved, smaller details of the tabla started coming out because the microphones are there. Similarly, even with the gayaki, previously everybody used to think, they have this whole open throat singing style and they used to sing really high, very high pitch. And now today, with the gradual movement of time and everything, you notice that even that has also come down. Nowadays, most of the singers are singing anything between C, C sharp, D. Even D is now becoming higher. I see notes. Like, you can be... Even when you sing so soft, you can hear it. Previously, it was the philosophy that if I do not... if I don't sing like this, somebody sitting 5 feet away won't hear me. So, evolution of fusion happened there itself. When people started realizing, what should I do for taking my idea across? So the whole idea of fusion comes from a necessity where people felt, okay, I like this element of Western music. Yeah, that this congas, these bongas, these percussions, they're so beautiful. Yeah, like, how can I use them with my tabla? What should I do? And then you have in Carnatic music, percussion is a huge topic. There's a main mridangam, then there is another ghatam or a kanjira. Then sometimes there'll be a talam for the bhajan songs. So evolution of percussion kind of is basically the evolution connected with the concept of fusion also. And then you have something like Shakti today, you know, Shakti is touring, it's doing the 50th year. Shakti and all this became big at that point of time because they were able to give the Indian sound to anybody in the world wanting to listen to Indian, and the Western and blended sounds for people in India who wanted to listen to something blended. So fusion always is like a unique and a beautiful bridge to all cultures, in my opinion. Because it's very easy for me to say, I belong to this gharana and I don't listen to anything else so that I will stay pure. But Akashvani in India is the greatest example of fusion because Akashvani started something called as the Akashvani Sangeet Sammelan almost 50 years ago. So 50 years ago, somebody sitting in the remote corner of Dharwad could listen to a musician singing something from Delhi. Somebody sitting in Bombay could listen to somebody from Kashmir. So the concept of fusion started then when people started listening to, and understanding, that sounds so good. I wish I could learn that. Because previously you wouldn't know that. You were just with your Guruji and your Guruji said, yes, sing this much only. This is all music is. And you just followed it promptly. Compared to now, when Akashvani started the real fusion, I feel that people living in any corner of the world in India heard anything from different parts of India. Because even people here, when I go to Chhattisgarh, I listen to certain rhythms in Chhattisgarh, which I have never heard in a Karnataka or never heard in a Mumbai. So when I go, vice versa. So the blending part is so huge, especially in India itself, because we have got so many main streams of music, so many side streams of music, so many lyrical, powerful things. There are some songs which are powerfully lyrical. You go suddenly to Karnataka, there is something called Yakshagana. And Yakshagana is such a mature form of art. I was in Sweden once. And in Sweden, this guy told me that you have this most mature form of Yakshagana. I said, what is so mature about it? He said, every single theme and thought which they have on that day, they evolve the dialogues accordingly. And I was mind blown because I thought Yakshagana is just like by-hearted material. Somebody has written these songs and this situation and they're singing. So when I heard that Yakshagana was such a powerful medium, from then onwards, I understood that our folk cultures have given tremendous influences to us. So one of those tremendous influences is the Shiva's Damru. And Shivji has this Damru. Whenever they show the Shiva dance, the Damru is always there. So that was one of the initial thoughts where I thought that the Damru and the Western beat of drum and bass, you know, that somewhere it felt to me that they both merged in my head. And that's when this whole idea came and I shared it with Kush, and Kush said, oh, this is very nice, let's do it. And so that's the whole answer.
Wow. So you brought in a lot of elements here, Prakashji. One is about music, one is about what exactly fusion can mean at different levels, and crediting something like Akashvani Prasar Bharati, which really has gone to this spread of every remote village in our country.
Absolutely.
And spread music in the right sense of the term and even any kind of message. Because Akashvani always, since I come from there, I can very proudly say it's infotainment that Akashvani always believes in. And they stay by it even now if you go with all the channels. So when we talk about music, you spoke about Shivji's Damru being also a wonderful interpretation shown on the drums. So when you combine all of this, what is the essence a musician needs to hold while he's studying music? Just be curious.
Oh, while studying music, that's a very, very, very good question, Rashmi. While studying music, I believe that I tell everybody that just be an open slate. In English, they use the word sponge. Just absorb everything. Do not think critically while learning. You know, that's a huge problem today. What am I learning? What genre is this? You know, all this is actually genre classifications were made by industries which wanted to market a certain form of music to you. And they thought by making genre classifications, they got their market. Oh, we are into EDM. Oh, we are progressive house. Oh, we are disco. Who wants to know all this, bhai? If I listen to something and I'm enjoying it, so what's happening is these genre specifications are making it very clear for you to blacklight, you know, highlight this is progressive techno. But what it does is it reduces the listenership of even those audiences. If I say, I'm a progressive house, I like to listen to, you might find that fellow doesn't listen to anything else other than that. So the specification which made a genre also actually narrowed down the choice of listening for the listener. So we are so lucky in India that whether you want it or not, early morning you are sleeping, Tarkari, there's a guy screaming Tarkari. There is suddenly some dung, 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 something is going, some bhajan is going on in somebody's house. You are so lucky in India. Listen to these sounds. Whenever I go to Norway, even now, when I go to Norway, I get hounded. You know, I feel like that Pushpak Biman movie, Kamalasan State, because so much of silence, I can't hear anything. And my ears start ringing. Here in India, we are lucky that we are hearing so many things at the same time parallelly. You're listening to some bhajan going on somewhere and then ding, nakka, 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 some huge procession is going. So those lucky elements of life, I feel, is genre specification started narrowing down listenership of people. It's a very contradictory statement. People might feel, what are you talking? But the fact is that when I say, I find people who say, I listen only to house. I said, oh my God, I didn't even know that genre existed. Let me first go and educate myself about what this genre is, boss. Then previously, there was just a term called disco. That disco had everything. So many elements of everything came from disco. So this genre specification, I kind of feeling that it's narrowing down. So fusion is the only element of music which is giving that broadness for the listener also. When a listener comes to listen to fusion, he doesn't come with a preconceived notion. It has to be techno, it has to be this, this fusion. Oh, so he's much open. So today, the main genre of music itself is fusion, in my opinion.
You know, this is so beautiful, because when we talk about medicine, when we talk about science, super specialization gives you that exclusivity. But somewhere when we talk about arts, and especially like you described music, the specialization kind of divides, and it's the blending that unites, and it's more unity that brings out the best of music. So now, talking about the music that you're going to inaugurate on the launch on the 26th of January, I want to know first, before we get there, what brought Kush and you together, and how did this fusion happen?
Okay, first let Kush answer this, then I will answer. Sure.
My pleasure. I think this is fusion is often misinterpreted in this world as, like, there's a word con added to it, so it's confusion most of the time. When people, two people of very distinct mindsets try to meet also, they cannot work themselves out in the true sense of expression. What I felt when I met, I still remember the coffee I had when Prakashji invited me to master his Progressive Raga album. That time, the sense of thought process and the kind of humility, the kind of humbleness which Prakashji had really got to me. I mean, there's such a well-established artist who's achieved so much in the world. He's inviting me and giving me all the respect which I wouldn't say anyone deserves, but is a part of a good thinking itself. When two people meet, they meet with a good thought process that, yeah, we are going to work together with a positive intent that this is going to happen. So that start itself really intrigued me. And secondly is preparation. Because I come from school of thought myself, Rashmi, because I feel that nothing is complete without you actually going deep into it. Even if you are saying a prayer, small prayers, every religion in this world says that you have to do it at least 1,000 times to perfect it, at least 2,000 times to perfect it. Similarly goes the art of learning music. You have to dedicate your sweat, blood, and more than sweat and blood, which is a metaphysical form which you can see, you have to dedicate your soul, something which you can't even see. You can feel when you are working so hard that, yes, my soul is into it. I felt his soul is itself music. He's when he touches the guitar itself, there's that unique, and I say it with no sense of hypocrisy, it's just my feeling, my honest feeling, when I hear him as a musician, that wow, music flows in him. That is how our collaboration happened. And when I first invited him to collaborate with Malhari, the kind of parts he added was internationally acclaimed. There was no other, no musician I knew, not from here or anywhere, who told me, wow, these guitar parts are just out of the world. They are legendary. So he is a complete musician. I try to be there. I try to learn all the time, all my way. And I think that's his quality also, that we both keep on learning. And from each other, we derive a lot of positivity. And I think that's of the best part of our collaboration.
So Prakashji, the complete musician, what would you want to say? Especially since you have Grammys under your belt, international awards under your belt. How do you operate, Prakashji, when collaborations come?
Oh, no. My first philosophy of collaboration is listening to the other musician. That's the most important thing, I feel, because I don't know. It's basically like a conversation again, Rashmi. Only when I let you say something that I listen, process, and then answer back, right? I just, even before you start saying, Rashmi, this is what I had, another. I'm full of that. And I can be going on for hours today. But that's not how a conversation will happen. A conversation happens when you have to listen to the other musician. Most of my collaborations, I've always believed in the fact that we have to first see what is coming from that side. Okay, even then somebody says, no, I will not say anything till you start with something. Then you also have to start in such a small and gentle way that the person on the other side feels like adding something to it. That's when the whole collaborative element. Because if let us say I am the first person to start something and say something, and I just do everything so skillfully and so masterfully, that the person on the other side, oh my God, am I needed here? That's not how it should be. So if the collaboration begins, we start with something small. And believe me, in this particular collaboration, the biggest thing was the sound of the ektara. That ektara is, you know, in you must have seen Kanakadasa, and everywhere there, in all bhajans, there is this tongi sound. That is the ektara. So the whole thing started when we wanted to take the recording of the ektara. I got somebody recorded a very bad sound of the ektara, which is actually not bringing out the flavor and the character of the ektara. And that ektara happens to be like a super connective link between all the, you know, drum and bass and the vocal sections, everything. It sets a meditative mood, actually. So that ektara, I felt that real message of this whole song, Omkara, is Omkara and the ektara. That's what I feel sometimes. And and then of course, whenever Kush will work something on the track and he'll send it to me, it's basically like somebody put a, you know, 6K camera on my Raddi footage. I always tell him that. the sound suddenly becomes so beautiful. And I feel, oh my God, oh, what a horrible thing I have done. Raddi Papa, let me rectify this.
Not many people realize that mostly fusion or collaborations is between two musicians. Here is a collaboration between a guy, a sound engineer, and a musician. Yes. And it's more beautiful than ever. I mean, we are so happy to collaborate like this. It's a unique collaboration itself.
What is clearly evident is the respect that the two of you have for each other. And I think a collaboration really goes to a different height when the two artists who are collaborating have so much of mutual respect. Now, my next question, why the Omkara? Because as a voice coach, that is one breathing exercise I tell all the coaches they should do in order to get in touch with the real voice that is there within. So why did you choose? It's described as the primordial sound, but what is it about the Omkara that got the two of you excited?
Okay, first I'll go, Kush. So it so happened recently that I had gone to Indore and with the whole family, and typically, you know, the last winter vacation, just before the holidays get over. So we went to Indore, and there we had a chance to even go to the Omkareshwar temple. And it was very surprising when I went to Omkareshwar, there were certain vibes which I felt. And I didn't understand how and when. By the time I was coming out of the temple, after the temple visit and all that, my mind was just going, Omkar, Omkar. And it's not even that in the temple you have got constant Omkara going. It's not like that. And you know, that too, I come from Benares, you know, like, when I go to any temple and I tell that priest that I'm from Benares, that the priest does namaskar to me first, because they believe that anybody from Benares has got so much of, you know, spiritualism upon them. Not so true with myself, that I'm not a very spiritual person. I believe in only one thing, that we have to be nice and kind to everybody. That's all. So for me, that whole concept of Omkara sounded resounding when I was traveling back. By the time I came to Bangalore, in my brain was like, something has to be done with the Omkara. And then, Omkara, okay, what to do? Then this whole idea of taking the drum and bass, because I could make a fantastic 45-minute chant of Omkara recording and I can enjoy it in my solitude. But if I am going to be playing it for somebody, if, let us say, a youngster who is listening to everything, every other form of music, suddenly comes in, oh, it sounds great. He'll think, oh, some meditation session is going on. Thank you, Uncle Anta, he will go. But how to make somebody chant along with you? That was the whole challenge. I don't want to make a sound in exclusion, like, oh, it's a beautiful product kept so high up in the shelf that nobody will reach for it. I wanted it to be just picked up by even a child who doesn't know much of his Omkara. Omkara. So that's that idea of the Omkara chant. How to make it very simple and easy. Anybody should chant along with it. That was the philosophy. And pretty much that's what we have been able to, the way Kush has also made the song so beautiful. Whenever I'm listening to it, I'm getting the feeling of that vibe, you know, which is what a good sound engineer understands, the vibe of the song. Because understanding the vibe is way beyond any technicality. It's not technicality. Technically, everything can be perfect. All the meters can be looking beautiful. But the vibe of the song, what is the vibe? That I think he understood it so beautifully. I sent it to him in the night when some rough idea I had. And he immediately got, sir, buddy, I spoke karenge, let's do it. That's it. No other discussion. And we just got into it completely.
So Kush, anything to add to what Prakash you just said?
Yeah, just from a perspective of Om, like I feel that in our region, like right from the start, we've been practicing the art of not worshipping, but respecting tattvas. So all the tattvas, if you see in our region, have a resonance, even the stones, the trees, the husk of trees, the sea, everything. And that resonance, I feel, is Om itself, because that is what we could relate to peace in. So when I heard this song, I heard that resonance along with a very unknown entity of Om, that is that spirit, that energy. That association of peace with energy, the blending of his Prakashji's production of peace with a lot of energy too, just got me. It's what it was like, yeah, this is what the definition of Om should be to everyone's mind. And this should be out, because the way it's been conceptualized, the way it all the elements are added and the way all the parts are, you know, put together is what the true definition of fulfillment of Omkara word should be. And I'm so happy that we did this collaboration. It all things just happen, I feel. Universe has a design and it makes people meet here and there. And you, whatever you pick from it is on you. And we picked it up. I swear we did it.
The beauty is when you are in sync with what message the universe wants to give. And the two of you seem perfectly in sync with that. Any moments, Prakashji or Kush, or I would maybe both of you, where while doing this production and bringing it out, you felt certain moments which were absolutely wow and aha?
I have to do this start is recording the Iktara, because the Iktara is not many people who are recording it, and there are not many recordings which have happened in the recent years of that instrument. So when Prakashji bought this instrument, from the inception of him holding that instrument to his plucking style, which is very difficult for this instrument because it has to be bent. The whole pitching has to be in a very unique way. I hope later on I request that the demo he does or the small bit he plays for us also involves Ektara, because youngsters should know what Ektara is actually about. So while recording this Ektara, I felt a sense of connect with the universe. I have not felt in my recording career many a times, because I felt here is something which I'm recording, which is so difficult to play. For me to record, it is a very difficult thing, I do agree. But for someone, I record only what someone plays. And when someone plays it with that kind of finesse and the respect, it's like caressing, a mother caressing a child in a way which only a mother can, is the way I feel a good instrumentalist treats an instrument. He becomes the janani of that, or the creator of that tone of the instrument. And the way Prakashji created that tone, made me one with the universe. I felt, yes, this is the start of the song. And when the agaz is so good, the anjam will definitely be good, madam.
And for you, Prakash ji, any moment that you remember while shooting this or recording this album?
There are musicians, different musicians are there. There is Aarti Murthy, and there is Chaitra Santaki also in the chorus and all that. And then there is a beautiful Nadaswaram which has come. You know, we've got a good Nadaswaram player and explaining him. Because see, Nadaswaram, all of these people come from those typical traditions where you just tell, shadi ka mandap laga hua hai, kuch bajaya, pam, 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 he plays. He doesn't have to really listen to the song and think what is to be done. Those things are very unheard for them because the traditional players, they just come and do their work. So when he came also, I just made him listen to the song. First, he was very surprised, like, sir, what do I do here? I said, don't worry. Towards the fag end of the song, when the song is almost ending, the song erupts into the Omkara going into like a cosmic galaxy, like it just spreads huge and wide. And at that point of time, the Nadaswaram is, he plays a small line, which is so beautifully come. He has played it so beautifully. It's like the whole creation of universe and the beginning of life. See, creation of universe is one thing. The beginning of life is another thing. So this, suddenly when the Nadaswaram in the ending, it comes, because you usually associate Nadaswaram to be the beginning of a function. Only in the beginnings you go, somebody is doing aarti. Other than that, you don't relate the Nadaswaram much. So here the Nadaswaram, as the song is ending and this huge cosmic sound of Omkara going all across, he signals the beginning of life. It's like that. So that was very special for me. I was also very surprised. Like when he was playing it, suddenly I said, let's record this. And we immediately recorded it. So even it, that was very divine also, because otherwise for me to explain, play this, play that, and I will have 1,000 ways of understanding the instrument and maybe not exactly how he wants to play it. So I left it open first. Kibai, whatever you feel, you play something. Then he just started playing something and I suddenly just recorded it and then I realized ki now also when the song is kind of reaching its ending and the Omkaras increase in number, this becoming like small constellations across the star, and then that small element of the Nadaswaram. So I mean, I'm just appreciating my own song. It's the easiest thing to do.
But you know, like any creator, there are certain nuances in any creation that maybe the public could miss while they listen. So an explanation into the detailing can help so that we don't miss it. Because that definitely, an awareness of that would add magic to the whole experience itself. So yes, like...
Because we have described creation as a circle of infinity.
Okay.
There is never a beginning, there is never an ending. It's just different stages of evolution. So the Nadaswaram coming in the ending is like the mark of the beginning of something else. It's something more beautiful maybe. It's left for our imagination. So that slightly unconventional way of using the Nadaswaram, because usually otherwise in any film you go, bam, 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 it's like everything is a beginning. But here, suddenly, when Omkaras are increasing and going wide, suddenly there is this whole Nadaswaram coming out. So and I think it's really a lucky thing, because when the Nadaswaram guy came to play, I had exactly no 100% idea as to what I want him to play. When I made him hear and he was just thinking and trying to figure out, that's when I got something magical. And that happens in every recording I've noticed over the years, that when you are least prepared, the most beautiful thing happens.
Yes.
The only thing is, a smart record is you'll keep the record button on. Because then it suddenly, oh, that was nice, and play it again. And you never know whether it will be played again in the same way. So that the beauty for us to breathe in, that's why I say the collaborations are so beautiful, because I always believe that everybody being born in a different way, different circumstances, the childhood, influences, what makes you who you are, is such a unique print of your own identity. That when I went a collaboration, I always do not want the musician to say, yes, sir, okay, sir, yes, sir, everything is fine. No, I would want that musician to just maybe break it and say, sir, this is not sounding good. I'll play something else altogether. I appreciate that, because that is when the collaboration is coming to its genuine fullness. No, It's not about just, okay, everybody has come and they're just assigned their role, do this much and go. It's not like, I would always believe in the collaborations to be, okay. So when he played something and then I realized, oh, it's sounding so beautiful. And then I kind of understood that, oh, it's so interesting that it has come only in the ending exactly. That whole thing of universe and then the birth of life.
So will this be a video as well that is accompanying the sound? Or
there is going to be a video. There is going to be a video, a very nicely conceived video, mostly concentrating on the artists themselves. And then adding a few elements which we have shot, mostly giving a cosmic and a very ethereal feel to the whole thing is what our concept of the video will be. There will be a video.
Okay. So, and this choice of choosing 26th for the launch, is there any reason behind it? Because this is 26th is seen as India's Republic Day. So normally what is released around, in and around, is something related to patriotism or India. So this is the bigger meaning of India that you chose. What is the reason behind the launch on 26th?
So from my perspective and from our perspective rather, I feel the Constitution of India was made on the 26th. That means India identified itself as a nation per se on the 26th, more than the independence. And Om is what India has identified the world with, like what identity of resonance or an identity of sound given to the world is Om. So these two things collaborate very well, I feel, and 26th is the right time to expose India's true side, the side of literature, the side of resonance, and putting the message of peace and harmony throughout the world. I think this is the right day to do that.
Yeah. So, Rashmi, also, actually, in the lyrics, there is this part where it says, Rang Birangi Duniya Mein Kho Gaya Har Koi. It's natural because today everybody is either you are in the job, you have got a work focus, you are blessed, your days charted into hours, minutes, seconds, and stuff like that. So in this whole duniya, rang birangi duniya mein kho gaya har koi, apne bhitar jhaakne ki fursat hi nahi. It basically says, look inward. The whole idea of the Om was that only, no? To look inward. Even when you go into the very scientific the definitions of how the word Om got generated, and Om from when you pronounce Om, from where it comes out, and all those details, I'm sure you will know better than me in this regard. So it just says, just Jable Manma Omkara Omkara Hariyo. Whenever you have time and how, we do not really have to go to a temple and prove yourself in any way. It's just that be one with the universe by just saying Omkara. That's all. So I think that today India is, you know, the whole world is listening to India in a very serious way. I think it's a great thing because I always felt that India had always something beautiful to say. Just that the others aren't listening. So I believe now that the world is listening. So it's a most simple way to just give this beautiful message to the whole world. Just chant Omkara. It has nothing to do with anything else, but just your own well-being and your own, just look at the inner beautiful side of life.
Yeah, that is very, very true. When you talk about what India has to give, I think this sound is something that you can hear all around you and within yourselves. And the journey within, Prakashji, was a very beautiful way to connect to the Omkara, because all of us, at least in India, believe we have a divinity within ourselves. And the purpose of our life is just to get into connection with that divinity within. So your demo of the Ektara.
Oh, here it comes. The soul of everything.
Yeah. So this is the Ektara, pretty much. You can see just one single string.
Yeah.
Which is again tied at the bottom to this small little leather section.
Okay.
And for that, you know, it allows a stretch. And these two particular small, if you bend them, so there's a unique way to bend it. I'm sure that you'll have heard this in thousands of songs in the past where, you know, Mirabai, whenever you have Mirabai, you have seen Mirabai only with this. So the fact is, everybody thinks it is like, no, that rhythm is generated. when you listen to Omkara also in the beginning, Kushji has recorded, it sounds so beautifully. I told him that after 80s, almost after a gap of 40 years, I have heard the Ektara sound like that again. That is courtesy.
Omkara, Omkara, Omkara.
So yeah, that is pretty much how the song begins. So I would encourage people to go to the Karmic Records YouTube page channel and have a look and share it. And means the whole idea is ultimately that please sing along. That's the best thing you can do. Just switch on the track and sing, and with the entire sections, right from the A to Z, there's something or the other, to just sing along with the song. So,
okay, so this was released yesterday, the 26th, when, like you said, the gift from India to the world.
Yes.
And what is it that you would like to tell the listeners to do? And how do you think they can promote this album that has been released yesterday?
Yeah, I mean,
what is your message?
As simple as the fact that we are telling people to, you know, the primordial sound of the universe, Ektara. Because if you look at just Indian history, Indian, you know, thousands of years back, I don't know, or at least hundreds of years back, we had the Panchang, where we knew how to tell the dates and the constellational positions. So when you were born, at that point of time, what star is there in the galaxy so many thousands of miles away? How was that analyzed and understood? It's a big mystery, in my opinion. The simplest way to connect to that huge constellation and yourself is just to chant Om. You just chant Om and you are in sync with it. That's all. It's got nothing to do with any religion. It's simple. It's just Om, just the word Om. Go ahead, sing with it, enjoy it, and then listen to the whole song. We have given it a modern context. And of course, the traditional context is always there. There is the Ektara. There is a drum and bass, which supposedly people think it's a very modern thing, you know. So it's all there in its most beautiful and pristine form. Go ahead, like it and enjoy it. That's it.
And Kush, what would you like to have as your message?
I would only like to thank the energies of the universe for bringing us together. And the release has been well received already. And I request the people to go ahead, give their valuable comments on YouTube, give a listen to it, and evolve themselves with the entire presence of this music. It's such a lovely collaboration. It's two independent people coming together and putting something out with their hearts and soul. And all we want is the audience to listen for those 2 minutes and just, you know, bind themselves in that entire experience of music. I'm sure they'll do that. I request them to do that.
Wow. Prakashji, sometime back, you spoke about 26th also being a day when India gives to the world, and Swami Vivekananda did exactly that. So I'd love to end with Swami Vivekananda's quote, where he says, "Talk to yourself once in a day, otherwise you may miss meeting an intelligent person in the world." So I think the purpose behind this album is all about connecting inward, going inward, and getting in touch with that person within.
Same. So I would just say what Vivekananda said with the difference. Tell yourself Omkara once in a day.
Or listen to the song Omkara once in a day. That would be awesome.
Automatically you'll say it. Such a pleasure meeting both of you. All the very best on this collaboration and wishing for more such collaborations. And I will definitely give the YouTube link so that people can click on it and go and listen to it and share and spread the word and the peace that Omkara brings along. Thank you.
Thank you, Prakashji. Thank you, Rashmi, so much.
Such a pleasure meeting you, Kush. And like always, Prakashji, a pleasure speaking to you. All the very best.
Bye. Bye. See you. Bye.
With that, we come to the end of this weekly quest of You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Do let us know if you know people who make the world beautiful. Write in to rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. that is rashmi.thethird@gmail.com. Come, let's explore this amazing world together, both you and I.